Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 7th of December, 2020. On the podcast today, Carlo Centonze, co-founder and CEO of HiQ. That's H-E-I-Q ticker there. And Carlo explains the business on their first day as a listed company, having raised $60 million to deliver growth by driving increased sales. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about i3 Energy, Kingfisher Group, Capita, and Brand Shield. And as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you. Top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. In fact, top 10 visions of these lists, including lots of content. There's an article there on Predator Oil and Gas. There's a video there with a good-looking chap. The Zephyr Energy webinar. Oh, it's me. Yeah, it's me with Colin Harrington. And another one there with Bert Monroe from... that's Cora Gold. One from Orison Mining. Who's that with Brad George? And there's also one there, I think, with Illy Metals. So check that out. And also our COVID-19 index. Biggest riser of the day is Biotrol, up 13.5%, 6.9 pence. Biggest faller, Modern Water, down 6.8%. What else? The N4 Pharma down as well, but that's risen quite strongly the last few days. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Carlo Centonze, co-founder and CEO of HiQ Group. That's H-E-I-Q ticker. Carlo, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, big day for you. Listing on the stock market, of course, and I'm assuming not many investors would have heard of you yet. So can you just start off, before we get into detail, give us a brief summary as to what HiQ is all about, please, Carlo.
Thank you. HiQ is pioneering materials for life, and we are a three-in-one company in research, in manufacturing, in promoting technologies to consumers, and we are creating some of the most performing technologies and innovate and differentiate the industries that we serve.
Excellent stuff. And take us back to the story. How did it start? How did HiQ originate?
Oh, well, we're scientists and chemical engineering by background, and HiQ was born during a hike in 2005, mm-hmm. when my co-founder Murray Hyde and I had very smelly shirts after 5 days hike in the Swiss Alps, and our then girlfriends did send us 100 meters ahead, and we were touched in our pride, and we came up with the concept of HiQ and also our first antimicrobial odor control technology.
Wow. And so how long have you been around, and tell us how you developed over the years?
We've been founded in 2005, and HiQ has grown into a 30 million pound revenue company, which employs today over 100 people around the world. We have grown to become a global, profitable, and fast growing pioneer in what is the 24 billion textile chemical market, and we're also directly serving the 10 billion antimicrobial textile market with our recent Swiss Technology Award winning HiQ Viroblock technology. We have developed over these years over 200 eco-conscious technologies with which we are serving over 300 major brands worldwide, including English Burberry, but also Spanish Zara or The Gap Group and North Face in the US, and some other world largest players like the largest home furnishing retailer. And we have been awarded for the innovations that we have done with them over the years.
Yeah, well, I was just looking at your website, and on the brand side there, who you work with, and everyone would recognize several of those brands. They're really big brands you work with. So, just give us an overview of your products and the markets they serve, if you could, Carlo.
Yeah, sure. I'll point out a few of our technologies. Firstly, HiQ Smart Temp. It's a technology that enables to activate dynamic cooling and a 2-degree cooler skin when you're overheating. Mm-hmm. And that's a cooling technology used by American Hanes or also the largest Japanese casual clothing retailer. And it's found on High Street on many other brands and on more than 300 million garments per year by now. So big success with that one. Another one is HiQ Fresh Air, which is the world's first photocatalytic air sanitizer. This was developed for leading Swedish home retailer for their curtains and is capable to reduce 80% of the daily indoor VOCs such as formaldehyde. So we're really purifying people's home air with this technology. And another one of our strong suit is HiQ CleanTech. This was awarded 2019, the Swiss Environmental Award. And it's a technology that potentially can reduce the global CO2 emission by 1% thanks to a much more sustainable and affordable polyester dyeing process. But most known we are for the latest one, HiQ Viroblock, which we managed to launch in January this year, and which helps us to fight against COVID-19 and which is capable to destroy 99.99% of the coronaviruses that are causing the COVID-19 on textile surfaces.
And you launched that in January because most of the world hadn't heard of coronavirus then, but you were developing these products to fight it.
Yeah, look, this comes out of our capability to have a rapid, deep innovation in HiQ and enable very swiftly new solutions for our partners or the market, and we have a unique capability to deliver and scale up thanks to our manufacturing sites across the world, and being partner of over 300 brands worldwide in co-promotion of innovations for many years allows us to go quickly to market. So we really managed to react very strongly to this problem that was starting to hit our societies and pulled all our energies and resources on solving this problem and bringing a solution that can contribute to fight back.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk growth. So explain where you've come from and how you're hoping intending to keep achieving that growth in the future.
Well, HiQ's aim is to deliver growth by driving a few things. One is having a focus on increased sales with our core product range, which is 200 products strong, and entering at the same time additional very lucrative markets thanks to other breakthrough innovations that we have. So the main focus of HiQ will be increasing market penetration in core innovation technologies that we have, like the HiQ Fresh Air, the HiQ Smart Temp, or the HiQ CleanTech, but also building and keeping building momentum for the latest launch that we had, HiQ Viral Block, which is developing not only in a product sale, but also in a licensing and royalty business, where we have more revenue pillars and opportunities that we can build up. This is a new field for us to be in the licensing of technologies, but we see a very good response from the market on also this latest offer of our brand equity. The last point where we are going to focus at is developing new innovations, and we have a very strong pipeline. It's 40 projects strong, and it includes HiQ Graphenix, which is a lighthouse technology for technical industrial filtration, and that's a huge market of 29 billion with a compounded annual growth rate of approximately 7%, and we have a technology that potentially will allow us, if we can deploy it to market swiftly, to enter that market all at the top with a much superior performance.
Yeah, you seem very well diversified. I suppose, you know, being that spread like that, I mean, surely you don't have many competitors, do you?
Oh, if you don't have competitors, you don't have a market. We're very proud to have very strong competitors, but none of them can compete with us on all the fields where we are competing. Yeah. And that's the uniqueness of our business model, which allows us to shift the battle to where we can win.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvelous stuff. Well, Carlo, every day in the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. To get on that list, people have to hit that follow button. So please give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button and add HiQ to their watch list, please.
Yeah, look, we are a high intellectual capital company with very strong ESG credential, and we're led by an experienced management. The HiQ is a high margin company, and we are today expanding across multiple very significant growth markets, and we have been cash generative for many years in the markets where we play, and we have demonstrated in this crisis where global logistics was a channel, where manufacturing was shut down in many places, we've demonstrated that we managed to thrive. And that is a capability and a proof of our agility to adapt to any situation. And these are qualities that are really needed to survive in this today's fast-changing world full of uncertainties. And lastly, we're targeting a tenfold growth in revenue in the medium term, and the compelling fundamentals for all the lucrative markets in which we operate support our ambition.
Excellent stuff, Carlos. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication. John, Al.
Season's greeting, Just. I'm all good. How are you?
Yeah, got the heaters on.
Yeah, got the wood burner on. In fact, well, had the wood burner on yesterday. It'll go on again today. It's certainly getting colder. And although it was a bit miserable this morning, it's cleared up a bit. So, yeah, we've got the Christmas tree up. Might even get the lights up today. Who knows?
Christmas tree? Yes, you were way behind, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't like to get up too early because it seems that, you know, Christmas is getting earlier every year, and you know, it's up for longer. So, we had the tree, bought the tree from the local farm shop, stuck it in a bucket of water outside, and bought it in yesterday. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's now up. Yeah, tree is now up.
We've had it up for weeks. Seems like way too long. God, the kids, yeah, and the kids, and the missus, a bit over the top, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think in November. I mean, December. Yeah, it's all about Christmas, but you know, certainly, you know, we will have the tree for sort of 3 to 4 weeks over Christmas. But yeah, I think it went up on the 6th, so it'll be up for the full month, won't it?
That's all you need, especially with the real tree. It'll start, dropping its pines anyway, won't it?
Yeah, so, uh, well, Well, that's the thing. Although I was given a tip yesterday, apparently...
Oh, hang on. I assume yours is a real tree. You haven't got your fake tree in a bucket of water, have you?
Absolutely a real tree. No, it's a real tree.
Imagine having your fake tree in a bucket of water.
there's a farm shop just up the road for us, which do fantastic vegetables, organic vegetables, you know, wonderful stuff, and they do great Christmas trees every year. But a tip yesterday, apparently, if you put water with some sugar in... in the
it
little bucket
the
that the no it actually stops the needles from falling off. Yeah. So there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or spray it with glue.
There is that. Although, yeah, in a stuffy indoor environment, if you're spraying it with toxic glue, then you might get some respiratory issues. So that might not be advisable. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yes, good point. Right, let's get on to some stocks. And what are you talking about? You want to talk about mention i3 Energy? Didn't you? Something to
yes, indeed.
Issue with something you said last week. Oh.
Yeah, well, I indicated last week that the Gain acquisition and Toscana acquisition were combined, and somebody correctly pointed out that that was not the case. So the Toscana acquisition was completed in June. It acquired 13 low decline fields, paid $3.8 million Canadian dollars for Toscana's debt and equity, and also effectively paid $3.4 million for Toscana's $28 million of junior and senior debt. So a very good deal there. And of course, had the TSX listing in the process. And a separate transaction completed on September 4th. It acquired Gain Energy assets for $80 million Canadian dollars. And it sold the Saskatchewan assets from Gain Energy to Harvard Resources for $45 million Canadian dollars. So separate entities. But that, of course, has led to a total of 242 operated wells across the West Canada Sedimentary Basin portfolio at an average working interest of 78%. So that, I hope, has cleared that up.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
Good.
Right.
Okay.
Let's, what's the next? Maybe we should left that at the end. Let's, what else are you talking about, Al?
Okay, so I want to first pick up on Kingfisher, the DIY conglomerate, the huge DIY entity. This has had a phenomenal year because, of course, as you'd expect, none of us have been able to spend money on going down to the pub or going out for a meal or going to the cinema. So we've spent it all on home improvements. And as a result, Kingfisher has had a fantastic year with shares powering up. Of course, shares fell off.
I wouldn't touch them now, though, would you?
Well, you say that.
I mean, I did say that. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. No. I think they're coming back. They're trading between the two. That you've got the 200-day moving average, which is currently at about £2.50 a share, and these shares are trading above that at £2.69, and the 50-day moving average, which is just below. Sorry, the 200-day moving average is at 225p per share, and the 50-day moving average is just below £3 per share, to £2.90. So
yeah,
shares are trading.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you look at they've gone from like literally. They hit £1 on that big sell of Dash for Cash back in March. They hit £1. They're now 268. That was a crack. They went up 320. Who says you can't get good returns on big stocks? In fact, any stock we look at, every chart I look at, you know, any buy in that when the fear was high was a good buy, you know. And but now, surely now that we're unlocking, people are going to start doing less DIY. Don't you think?
Well, we're back now to levels in early 2019, early last year. So all the stock is now trading at the same level that it was in late last year.
In fact, 268. They were back there. Yeah. Run. They peaked in
26th of April. 26th of April.
Yeah, that was a big peak. They came straight back down. If you look at were coming down a downtrend. They've been down downtrend. Ages since 2018, but 2018 they were around at this level. I wouldn't buy another. It's a fast rally for a big stock.
But look at the sales momentum. I think you've got to take into account the sales momentum, and also on the back of that, they have funded a lot of
What do you mean sales momentum? What does that mean? Because I mean, if now we can go out and do stuff, then we're gonna the numbers they get, the sales figures they get, of course, in the rearview mirror. You know, what's happened, but surely going forward, people are now going to spend less on DIY over Christmas, and then the vaccines are all around. around. And I was saying, I was arguing, you only need 5 million people vaccinated to you know, get the economy fully unlocked. That's all you need to vaccinate. Do you want to hear my thoughts on that?
I think that's absolutely valid, but I think the argument and the bull case both for DIY and also for construction is unchanged longer term, because the group sales fell for the first half of the year. They fell to 5.9 billion. In quarter three, group sales rose 17.5% to 3.5 billion sterling. So a massive increase, but also e-commerce sales rocketed as well. So, and they now represent 17% of group sales. Sales grew in UK and Ireland, France, Poland, and of course across the portfolio of stores, which are B&Q, Screwfix in the UK, Castorama, Brico Depot in France, and also across Europe. They also exited Castorama Russia, but there's 3.5 billion in the bank. They've launched a series of initiatives, which include putting many B&Q stores into superstores such as Asda and other store chains up and down the UK and across Europe. But also they've just acquired an e-commerce site called Need Help, which basically is all across the European home improvement marketplace. And this is it's a portal to which you go and you look for your DIY product, and it connects you with the best and the cheapest DIY product in your area. This is going to be launched in the UK and Poland. They acquired over 10 million sterling, and they are looking to boost their online sales drive. So I think the COVID crisis has given Kingfisher an opportunity to restructure itself, to streamline its offering. It's got 3.5 billion liquidity available. It's highly cash generative, and we're now trading in a range between, as I said at the start, the 200-day moving average and the 50-day moving average. The company said itself that COVID uncertainty limits visibility going forward, but the company has never been in a stronger position financially, and they're investing more and more in online. And I think historically they were behind the curve on that. They're now very much ahead of the curve. And I do think that the closer this gets to the 200-day moving average, anywhere around that level, I think it offers great value. And of course, there is a dividend of about 1.5% being paid as well.
Yes, well, I just think it's a big run-up. I think,
take a look at the news flow of Kingfisher over the past month. Take a look at the trading update on November the 19th with the quarter three sales numbers. I mean, it's very, very impressive growth. But it's also the plans they put into place, the new initiatives, the online, the growth in online, the online acquisition of Need Help. It's the direction the company's going in that's impressed me. So they've taken full advantage of the situation, and yeah, we are now at levels that we were at in April last year. So it's not, I don't think it's ahead of the curve. You know, back in 2017, shares were trading at £3.60. So there's still considerable upside, I believe, in the bull case as we stand at the moment.
Okay, that's Kingfisher. I'm not convinced. I'll watch. What's next, Al?
Okay, Capita. This is, of course, the outsourcing company Capita that we have discussed before. This is a company that was literally bumping along the bottom. Shares were trading sort of just around 20p, which gave it a minuscule capitalization. Obviously, there were concerns, I believe, that there were concerns about the company being an outsourcing entity. There's obviously the legacy concerns over companies like Carillion and what happened there, but Capita is a different beast. This is an outsourcing professional services group. It's absolutely embedded into the government infrastructure, and it runs contracts for the government, including the Ministry of Justice, pension schemes, Department of Education, and a whole range of infrastructure businesses within the government. It's been undergoing a sea change during COVID. The company updated on November the 10th, revenues in line with expectations at 803 million, operating profit of 36 million from a loss of 12 million previously, and a positive EBITDA number of 115 million versus 111 million loss previously. The group said that revenues were resilient. The fall in the share price was due to COVID, but the group is offloading its educational software business. And as you'll have seen, if you look at the share price has pushed up in recent weeks. And in fact, today the company, November the 27th, the company announced it was in talks with Montague over the sale of the educational software services business, and obviously no guarantee it'll take place, but I think there's, you know, the company has been working on this for some time, so it's reasonable to expect they will conclude a sale at some point. So John Lewis has done an awful lot to streamline the business, dispose of Nuncore, it disposed of Eclipse Legal Services early this year, and also during the COVID crisis, the board reduced their salaries as a group. Made me laugh, actually, that Pat Butcher stepped down from the group on November the 16th. Pat Butcher, yeah, Patrick Butcher. Actually, the chief financial officer. But I did laugh when I saw that. So Gordon Boyd is coming in as the interim CFO, but the company announced today that a fellow called David Loudon had joined the group. David Loudon is the chairman of Page Group, the FTSE 2 listed recruitment group, and also director at Morgan Sindall. So, you know, a very senior management appointment there. And David Loudon has been brought in by the CEO, John Lewis, and his colleagues to oversee the transformation program taking place at Capita. And, shares again, as we know, fell off a cliff at the start of the year. But in January, the shares were trading, as high as £1.70. So here we are today at 49p. Restructure underway. If the educational services software business is sold to Montague, then I think we're going to see the shares start to regain that lost ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Especially what I think. Got rid of Pat Butcher there. I don't think that's a good. That's good. Not a good move in my mind. Getting rid of Pat Butcher, you know.
Yeah. Hi, Pat Butcher.
Yeah. Or Pat Butcher. Cool. Anything else, Al?
Yeah, I want to talk about Brand Shield. So we've talked about Two Shields Investments, of course, Two Shields Investments.
Why are you laughing?
No, it's just the conversations that you and I have had about that offline.
TSI, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So someone said this is something else, TSI, but I said that was quite rude. But there we are.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so Brand Shield, of course, were one of the key investments for Two Shields Investments. And I'll just go through and summarize, because what's interesting is that Two Shields has evolved into Brand Shield. So Brand Shield is now the listed entity, BRSD. They raised 3.2 million, placed 16 million new shares at 20p. And Brand Shield was the key investment for the Two Shields Investment Group. Brand Shield, as the name would imply, it works to neutralize phishing websites. And it says, Johan Kurev, the CEO, said that coronavirus and COVID has been a coming of age for scammers and con artists. People are being attacked through fake pharma services and products, medical supplies, banking, forex, loans, entertainment, gaming, deliveries, all sorts of stuff. And Brand Shield basically go in and neutralize the threat. This is a market that's fast growing. The cyber threat market is growing rapidly. It's going to be worth nearly 13 billion globally by 2023, and it's currently growing at 20% per annum. And all of us, of course, work online, so I think we're all aware of the threat that exists, and we most of us see evidence of that pretty well every day coming to our mailbox. So the company.
What do you have coming into your mailbox, Al? I dread to think what you have coming into your mailbox.
Well, it's just spam, isn't it? It's spam, and then you'll get an email from your bank, which looks absolutely authentic, and then you just hover over and you realise that the actual mail send address is nothing to do with the bank or similar. But the authenticity and the sophisticated nature of these scammers now means that it's easy to get caught out. But yeah. as you well know, you never ever click on anything that's, well, the bank just won't send you stuff. You have to get in touch with them. So
I've had some quite clever ones. So in fact, my wife is still on sort of Outlook and Hotmail, whatever that is. They're rubbish. They get a lot of spam. Yep. Like, Gmail's not so bad. It seems to filter out better. But years ago, when I was on Hotmail, I used to get a lot of two types of email from spam. And there's either Rolex watches and Viagra.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And I used to think, okay, so they obviously think I'm a guy who's in looking for ladies who are impressed by a Swiss watch, you know, or something like that. So if I go out there and I just pull, because I just show my fake Rolex, and then I take them home and I can perform. Why have they put me in that category of a person who seems want to buy, you know, a Rolex, a fake Rolex, and Viagra? Why do I fit in that category? I'm a married man, for heaven's sake.
I don't know, Jess, you tell me. Yeah, it's a weird thing, but you know, I'm sure now they're selling a Rolex watch with a little compartment in the back that contains your Viagra pill, so you can just click your watch open and, you know, swallow the pill, and Bob's your uncle.
But, in fact, when I met you, I think you had a Rolex on, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, yeah. One of those cheap Rolexes that you buy in a market.
Yeah, spelled Rolex. Rolex is spelled
Rolex.
Yeah, that's a Rolex you've got there, Al.
Like Dulux, yeah. Yeah, but no, it's a very real threat, as we know, Gmail deals with it very well, and other services don't, and Outlook is very prone to it. But nonetheless, so the company's evolved into BrandShield, but what is interesting is that it's taken forward within the new entity BRSD. It's taken forward all of the investments that it had previously, which includes WeShop e-commerce, and Yoav Curran is now on the board of WeShop. And indeed, in August, WeShop raised $9 million via convertible loan notes, and of course, Yoav Curran then came into the board. So of course, you know, that's there are good synergies there between WeShop and BrandShield. But they also have a diverse range of investments, which includes the Kalahari Key project in Botswana, which of course is currently being explored by Power Metal Resources and I believe it's Kavango as well, Kavango Resources. Kalahari Key Minerals is an opportunity to that there's a huge asset there in the ground, nickel sulfide, which will mean that as the project develops, Power Metal could own 50% of the overall project. That remains within the group. Now, at some point, the BrandShield board may decide to offload or divest that, you know, which you'd expect. But there is aside from the main BrandShield offering, you've got these offerings, the additional investments behind the scene. There's also an investment in Global Geoscience as well. So one would expect that as the company develops, these will be divested at some point, and of course, financial value will be realized from them. But I think BrandShield itself, the threat we face, this huge burgeoning marketplace, they're right at the forefront of this. And of course, the BrandShield board, if you look at the BrandShield website, it consists of it's basically an Israeli company, and the board, Yoav Keren, and in fact Uzi, the chairman, actually has a history and a background in Israeli cyber terrorism and dealing with cyber threats for many years. So I think there's probably no people better placed to understand the threat and to deal with the threat than these guys. So a very encouraging future, I think, for BrandShield going forward.
Excellent stuff. Yes, it's one of those areas, I think, you know, I know a lot of people doing it, you know, cyber security and stuff.
Yeah.
But,
a lot of people doing it not very well as well, you know, and that's the other thing. But, you know, these guys, look at the website, you know, just do your research about these guys. These guys are right at the forefront, and, you know, they've been dealing with real stuff and, you know, terrorism issues and the whole lot. So, you know, I think they have a very good understanding of how to deal with this stuff, and their product offering is very good. But it's a fast-growing marketplace, and they're one of the key players globally in this.
Yeah, no, I had You have on the podcast. Twice, but recently he's been on. And yeah, very interesting area. And like I said, you know, cybersecurity is very hot. It just you've got to pick the right one, I suppose. But they seem to have some very good contracts and some very good big clients. So yep. Marvellous stuff. Anything else, Al?
Well, just to say congratulations to Open Orphan. Two more contract wins announced today. Venn Life Sciences, of course, the company announced two new contract wins, which entailed I'm just looking. There's a COVID-19 study with 200 patients across 50 sites, and also they have these with two European pharmaceutical companies. They're going to build a new process and diagnostic testing for one of these companies related to clinical development. So Open said in the RNS this morning that the revenues from that would be significant. So that's very encouraging, given that the company's in coming up to full year results.
Marvellous stuff. Cheers, Alan. We'll speak to you next week.
Just speak to you next week.
Okay, time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Games Workshop, up 0.3% to £9.9. At four, Alien Metals, down 8.3% to 1.1. At three, Rambler Metals and Mining, up 7.8% to 0.275. At two, Helium One, up 8.8%. to 4.6, and at one, Gunsind, up 22.7% to 2025. So that's why I like the podcast. I chatted to Helium One last week on the podcast. Quite a few people actually commented on that, saying that sounds very good. And I thought, yeah, do you know what? Helium is a very interesting market, and they've got a big resource or reserves of that resource at the moment, I think. But yeah, very interesting, and I learned something from that. So thanks for the feedback on that. Okay, top five. Most liked RNSs are as follows. Predator Oil and Gas, that's end of year operation update. Iconic Labs, partnership with Premier Sports. At three, BP, Q3 2020 payments of dividends in sterling. At two, Open Orphan, Venn Life Sciences, contract wins. And at one, Games Workshop, half year trading update. And let me just look at the most read today. Open Orphan is most read. Gene Drive is second, additional listing. Arc Minerals is there as well. Iconic Labs, United Oil and Gas, and New Formix is all there. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.